Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, former Senator Richard Bryan for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Senator Richard Bryan. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Sam, it's good to be with you. It's been a while since we've done this.
I know, and I ran into you at the Don Carano funeral services. That was a who's who of Nevada there.
Well, that's old Nevada, and certainly goes back to the early days in the Truckee Meadows. A wonderful family, and a family business, which you don't see that much of these days, particularly as these casinos have gained size in the corporate world. But it's a family enterprise, and they've been very successful. And I think a lot of us are delighted to see an old Nevada family continue to thrive in a very competitive environment today.
And in fact, over the last year or so, they've grown to be the second largest regional gaming company in the country, just behind Boyd.
That's wonderful news.
Which is amazing. I wanted to ask you about the shooting incident. When you were governor, did you have anything comparable to what occurred here in Las Vegas?
Nothing of that magnitude. I mean, every governor has some incident that occurs during his tenure. A couple that I had, there was flooding, a lot of flooding in the Truckee Meadows, and particularly in the Carson Valley, that kind of washed out the highway. In fact, for many years you saw remnants of that. We had flooding along the Colorado. In fact, the spillways at the dam had not been activated, and since shortly after the construction of the dam, when the lake was allowed to rise to a level to just to test them, and so there was flooding down there in the Laughlin area that we activated the National Guard. And then one of the tragedies we had was the PEPCON. You may recall that
in
1988, the explosion that occurred, there was a loss of life there, but nothing of the magnitude of this. And I'm not sure that any governor in Nevada history has faced a horrendous tragedy of this magnitude that had all kinds of implications. It was not an isolated situation. It's part of what tragically we're seeing all over the country, where these deranged folks or ideological extremists are perpetrating these acts all over the country. So I'd have to say Sandoval's situation is unique for a Nevada governor in that sense.
You were very unusual in your Senate career in the fact that at the top of your game, you chose not to run for re-election.
Yeah.
You seem to be very comfortable with that decision.
You know, Sam, I've never given that a second thought or reconsidered. I mean, I've had a few clients over the years back in D.C. When I go back and see a committee hearing, all of a sudden, you know, the the juices flow, and you think, gosh, I'd love to be able to be asking questions. But I was very fortunate. You know, I had a long career of public service. I loved it. It was, you know, 2000 campaign was approaching, and I followed the example of two of my predecessors. In 1973, Alan Bible, then our senior senator, was the first Nevada senator who had left office on his own volition. The others had left in the ashes of defeat or in a pine box, and he announced in the previous year that he would not be a candidate for re-election. Paul Exall did the same thing in 1985, as I recall, giving everybody an opportunity, Democrat or Republican, to position themselves to run. And I thought I would do the same thing, and I did. The reasons were I missed not being home. I have a number of friends who have been political supporters, but they were friends long before I got into politics, and politics was not the nexus that tied us together. They were moving along in their lives and careers, and I wasn't seeing that. I missed that. My children were beginning to have grandkids, and I felt a sense of guilt that although I wasn't a neglectful parent, I wasn't there as they were developing. I was in the state legislature at some meeting that in my own mind was absolutely critical to attend. In retrospect, Sam, that certainly does not appear to be the case. And I saw grandchildren as an opportunity to kind of relive kind of the experiences that I had missed as a young man. And then my father died at 52. I was in good health, still am, good Lord. And I thought, boy, This may be an opportunity for a new stage in my career. And then finally, this fundraising thing. Even after I had announced, Sam, that I was not going to be a candidate for re-election, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, the Republicans have theirs as well, said, look, we need you to come in to the headquarters, and as it was called, dial for dollars, that is to call prospective and say, look, would you make a contribution? Would you attend our major fundraising event? Sam, I hated fundraising. I was lousy at it. If another candidate could do it in 2 weeks, it took me a month because I always procrastinate. If there's anything else I could do to fill the schedule other than fundraising, I would do it. So those were the reasons, and I was very comfortable with the decision, Sam, still am.
Do you feel that there's ever going to be a change in the money in politics because it has grown into such a multi-billion dollar business?
Unbelievable. I think the most corrosive impact on politics today is the amount of money that's involved. The Citizens United case opened up a floodgate. I even favored in my tenure there a constitutional amendment which would have been required because the court long before the Citizens United had knocked it down, declared unconstitutional limitations on the amount of money that a candidate could spend for office. We had legislation like that here in Nevada, I think passed probably in 1975, where you could raise X number of dollars for governor and a lesser amount running for the state legislature. And I favored that. I still favor limitations, but frankly, that's not going to happen, Sam. And what it does is it makes the candidate obsessed. Already I've gotten requests from candidates who are beginning a lengthy tenure in office. I mean, wow, you're not up again for whatever it is, 4 years. And that has become the focus. And the other thing now, many, many candidates in the Congress have their own PACs. So that's another vehicle you can contribute to the candidate's campaign, reelection campaign, and you can also contribute to a PAC and that sort of thing. So I think politics has become – money was always important, Sam. I'm not suggesting it was not important when I was in office. It certainly was. But now it's become such a focus that today a person who might be regarded as just a great candidate, well, the second question is he or she capable of raising the amount of money? that's needed.
And yet, as we've seen, for example, with Sheldon Adelson, he put in incredible amounts of money in previous campaigns with almost zero results.
That's very true. That's very true. Well, I mean, you've got to select the right time and the right candidate. And sometimes the person who is the beneficiary of campaign contribution like that is not very electable. I'm not saying that they're not good people, but they're not very electable. So it's pretty, you know, the old expression, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I mean, if somebody really doesn't have what I would call either the campaign skills or the background, sometimes pretty hard to bring them across the finish line.
All right, let's take a break. More with Senator Richard Bryan when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Senator Richard Bryan. So what do you make of the president?
Well, in my opinion, putting aside whether you agree with him on the issues, and I don't agree with him on the issues, no president in my lifetime has conducted himself with less dignity. I did not always agree with Ronald Reagan, but I must say he was a man of great dignity. I was privileged to share the platform with him a couple times when I was governor at major events. I'm not talking about just the two of us. You always felt that, you know, he's our president. I don't agree with him, but he conducts himself well. He represents us well. George W. Bush, I was not a big fan of his policies, but I thought he always conducted himself with some dignity. Richard Nixon certainly had his problems, but I thought he conducted himself with dignity. I didn't agree with some of his views. Gerald Ford was just a wonderful human being. So it's not a question of whether you agree with their politics or not. I do not. But, I mean, the way in which he responds to criticism, the language that he uses, I think that's dangerous, and I think it undermines America's stature in the world, and that I find very troublesome, putting aside whether you agree or disagree with what he's proposing and with immigration and tax reform and the other legitimate public policy issues that should be debated.
On the international stage, does his style of negotiating help or hurt? Because you can see that the people behind him, General Mattis, Rex Tillerson, are working the back channels to reassure people, while at the same time the public image is certainly outspoken.
Sam, I think it's a very insightful observation. Tillerson may not have been my choice for Secretary of State if I were asked, but clearly he's trying to restrain the president and assure our allies that, wait a minute, we're not about ready to go off in the deep end, that we still want to negotiate, whereas the president undermines him consistently and says, quote, Rex, you're wasting your time in talking to them. One of my favorite historical figures is Winston Churchill, no shrinking violet, a guy that certainly in Britain's darkest hour rallied to the cause and warned through that decade of the 1930s of the dangers of what was occurring in Germany, said this, better to jaw-jaw than war-war. That is, here is a guy that certainly was no one who was afraid to use a military force when necessary, but talking is better No more. That doesn't mean that you agree with your opponent. What concerns me is just the opposite of what the president intends to happen is happening. In other words, we withdrew from the Far East negotiations. Who's assumed the dominant role there? China. We've withdrawn from the Paris Accords, which I think was terribly misguided because there was no mandate to with 195 other nations in the world. And early on in the campaign and during the months of his presidency, questioned the value of NATO. That has been the single most important alliance in the 20th century because, by and large, that critical clause, if you attack them, part of the alliance, you attack us. And I think that helped to keep the peace in Europe after World War II when the Soviets were very aggressive in taking over these countries that became satellite nations. And to question that, I mean, what are our allies thinking about what we're doing? Go on and on and on, NAFTA. It just, I think, is unfortunate. And that, of course, is a policy issue. But you do get the sense that Mattis and others are trying to restrain the president, recognizing that, wait a minute, this fellow in North Korea, he's not rational. We don't know what he might do. If he were seriously threatened, he may really think, by God, I'd better strike first or they're going to take me out.
Are you concerned by the president's apparent lack of history?
That bothers me. Yes, it does bother me.
And by the way, Sig Rogich, who was on the program yesterday, brought this up.
Yeah, that bothers me. The president certainly has been a successful business person, but the lack of history, I think he has done considerable damage to the institutions of government. Putting aside the policy questions, obviously Reagan's policies were a lot different than Bill Clinton's, and that's fine because we elect presidents and we think generally that we have an idea of what their policies are going to be. But yes, the lack of a historical perspective, I don't think that he knows much about that. And the role, for example, of the courts, the role of the court is not to ratify what the president wants to do. I mean, by and large, it is to be an independent branch of government, which over the years has evolved to have the power to declare certain acts of Congress unconstitutional. So the fact that they don't agree with his immigration policy in the sense that they feel some of the courts have ruled that he had proposed was unconstitutional, he doesn't seem to get that. Obviously, presidents are disappointed when the court declares. One of my favorite examples at the turn of the century, in the era of trust busting, Theodore Roosevelt appointed Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. to the Supreme Court, a jurist that was distinguished, had a long career on the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts. He thought that Holmes would support him on the issue that was moving its way through the system, and Holmes did not. So, I mean, the role of the court is something I don't think he appreciates, and the suggestion somehow, if you're a Mexican-American ancestry, that you cannot render a fair decision with respect to issues involving, that just, I think, is distasteful and dangerous.
Let's take a break more with Senator Bryan when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Senator Richard Bryan. In our last segment here, I wanted to kind of do a, sort of a lightning round and get some answers here. Chris Giuliani has declared for governor against Steve Sisolak. Senator Reid has already said he's given his endorsement to Steve Sisolak. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, she is a formidable candidate to, in a Democratic primary. She's been worked in the vineyards there of the Democratic Party for decades, so she's a formidable candidate. Steve Sisolak is a very formidable candidate, and I think has handled himself extremely well with this horrific event of October 1st with the tragic loss of 58 lives. I mean, so I think it'll be an interesting primary, and I think Sisolak, who may be favored, cannot ignore her candidacy.
Adam Laxalt on the Republican side, your thoughts?
He's done an extraordinary job politically. Been very skillful clearing the field. You know, I mean, Senator Hiller, I think, was very interested in running for governor. I think that Lieutenant Governor Hutchison was interested. There was even talk that perhaps Congressman Amaday. He has done an extraordinary job of clearing the field, so that right now, I mean, he is the prohibitive favorite in the Republican primary, and I think will be a formidable candidate in the general. The question is whether his views, which are quite far to the right compared to Sandoval, will resonate with the vast majority of people, increasingly the independents, nonpartisan, and the Democrats. But he certainly has appealed to the Republican base.
And how do you feel that Governor Sandoval will act? Do you think he'll be supportive, or do you think, as he has done with other candidates in the past on the Republican side, he'll give the nod but not really be actively supporting?
That's a tough one. I think that Sandoval would support the Republican nominee, but I think there's a level of how active will he be in the campaign. I suspect that he will say that, look, I've got my job as governor to do. I've only got another year or whatever the time frame is. I want to concentrate on doing the things that I want to accomplish in the last 10 minutes, and really I'm less interested today in politics, so words to that effect.
Did Dina Titus make the right decision not to take on Jackie Rosen in a primary?
You know, I don't know, but clearly it would have been a decision which would have been a handicap for whoever emerged as the Democratic nominee. So I think the fact that she did not certainly was a good decision from the party's point of view, and clearly the Democrats have a chance of regaining the House, and her additional seniority, I think, could be extremely helpful to us there.
And that's where we have to leave it. Senator Richard Bryan, always a pleasure, sir.
Pleasure is always mine. Sam, let's do it again sometime.
Very soon. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, Las Vegas City Councilwoman Michelle Fiore will join us. We'll see you then.